we are in a series called On My Mind, which is actually a bit dangerous because basically what we've decided is, hey, whoever the communicator is that particular week, whatever God's got on your mind, go ahead and share it with people, which I think is a bit dangerous because there's some stuff on my mind sometimes that probably not good to share or hear of, but just stuff I'm thinking about, frustrated about, trying to understand why this, why that. But I'll tell you something that happened a couple weeks ago that I think could be helpful for us today. I was in my men's group. I have a weekly men's group that I'm a part of. And we were talking about different things, and one of the topics that came up briefly was music and singing, particularly singing in church. And some guys had some great thoughts, but there were also some really great questions. And it got me thinking, you know, this is something that we do every week, is that we sing. I mean, even when we do kind of church-wide leadership deals or we have a night of praise and worship, I mean, singing is pretty much always a part of our time together. And I think sometimes we can miss on some of the amazing depth and value and purpose behind why we sing. And so I thought it would be helpful for us to have a time of discussion about the question, why do we sing in church? And unfortunately for me, I have had some experience unpacking this question. I got to tell you about a story. Years ago, I was early in my pastoral journey. I was a couple years in. I was leading a college and young adult service, and we had music and a message and the whole nine, and I had invited a missionary to come and to speak to our group. And so before he went up, we had our time of music just like we did, and we sang the final song. And during that song, I don't exactly remember the title of it, but there was this phrase that we would just kind of repeat over and over toward the end of the song. And mind you, the music was building, the energy was in the room. It was a powerful combination of music and words. But the words or the phrase was, we want more. We want more of you. We want more. We want. I know I should sing it, but I don't have any skill and you'd all leave, okay? So we want more of you. And it was like this cool moment. Everybody's singing. It's powerful. The music's playing. All is good. And so we wrap up that song, and the missionary that I invited to speak comes on stage. And he goes, hey, before I get into my message, I'd just like to share something with you. He said, the song that you were singing was powerful and moving, but he said, I was just thinking about the words, and I just wanted to say to you that there's really nothing else more God can do. He paid it all on the cross. And I remember thinking, where's the exit? Because I got to go. Like, talk about being humbled. And yet it was so gracious. But I tell you that because as a young pastor, it was one of those moments where I realized even the words that we sing, they are so significant. And so it birthed for me a little personal journey where I was like, you know, I want to go back to the beginning. I want to figure out, why do we do this? Where does this come from? I mean, I grew up in church. I grew up singing all the time, but I didn't understand it. And so I want to share with you today some of the things that I found as it came up just recently in a men's group that I was in. And so here we go. Here's what I found. Two categories. Spiritual implications, practical implications. Why do we sing in church? There's a spiritual implication, a couple of them, and there's a few practical implications. Let's look at the first one. Spiritual implications, number one. Here we go. It's this. God commands us to. God commands us to. In fact, throughout Scripture, there are over 400 references to singing in church. Not to mention, the longest book in the Bible, do you know this, is the book of Psalms. There you go. That's a trivia one day. The book of Psalms. And guess what the book of Psalms is? About 150 songs. So singing already, just by sheer volume of the Bible, is heavily influenced. But then there's a couple of verses, one in particular, that I want to show you. It's Psalm 150, and it says this. Listen to the command. Praise the Lord. Pretty simple. What do? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's keep going. Praise God in his sanctuary. This is found in Psalm 150. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him. What are we praising him for? Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him for his unequaled greatness. Sounds like just the song we were singing. It goes on. Praise him with blast of ram's horn. Here come the instruments. By the way, where's the ram's horn today? We missed out on that. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. So basically, all instruments are welcome. So there's not a right or a wrong, in case you were trying to figure if you could work that in. But he says, all instruments, bring them on. All of them are worthy of praise. But then look at this. It says, praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Some of you today were like, the music is a little loud. Somebody tell those guys. Well, listen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is what the Bible says. loud clanging cymbals. So hit those things. All right, it doesn't always have to be loud. I just thought that was helpful. Is that helpful? All right. Let everything, here's the second part, and again the command. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God has clearly commanded this. Why? What's the depth here? Beyond just bringing worship and praise to Him, which is the most significant, by the way. I wonder if God was up to something. You ever think about that? I wonder what God's doing behind the scenes. I wonder if there's something that He's working on. Well, here's the second spiritual implication. Singing is worship. Now, some of you theologians are like, wait a minute, you're right. Singing is a part of worship. Worship is a multitude of things, and singing is a part of it. In fact, let's look at worship for just a minute. Here's a little definition. Worship is to show reverence, adoration, and respect towards God through, keyword, various forms. So what does worship look like? It does involve singing. It involves music, playing instruments, but it also involves prayer, studying and memorizing scripture. It's baptism, it's communion like we celebrated together today. It's fellowship, it's prayer, did I say that? It's the gathering. So obedience is part of how we worship God. So worship covers a multitude of things, very powerful things that help us lean into God. But piece of the worship puzzle is singing and music and praise. And so one of the spiritual implications is that, man, this is one of the ways that we worship God. Now, I've been around the church for a long time as a pastor. People start to say, oh, it's the worship time, and they're referencing the music. And I just want to tell you, that's one piece of it, all right? Not the music leaders always say, oh, yeah, that's the worship time. But it is all of it. Everything we do here together, by sitting in the room together, by praying together, by opening the Bible to study, by listening and singing along, all of this is the worship of God. So the second spiritual implication is that singing is part of our worship. Here's the third one, the final spiritual implication. There's probably more, but these are the top three I wanted to show you. Is that singing helps us connect with God. Singing helps us connect with God. As we begin to sing, our emotion and our attention turn away from the things around us and move symbolically up toward God. Think of it like this. For those of you that have been attending River Point, let's say for a year or more, because it's Sunday morning, I'm going to guess your normal routine would be from your house, you drive to River Point in the morning, and then likely drive back. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who have been here a year or longer, how many stoplights do you pass on your way here? Anybody know? Some of you are like, three, does that count, stop sign? I don't, yeah. Most of us probably could take a guess, but you didn't know for sure, right? Even if I offered you $100, like, I think it's 3 or 9. I'm not sure. It depends. Am I all the way back in Siena, or I'm in the front, or am I down there at Riverstone and Quail? The point is, you haven't paid attention. But what if I told you today, go home and count on the way home and tell me how many, and then call me back, and I'll Venmo you $100. First of all, every single one of you are going to take me up on it. And two, all of a sudden, you're going to know exactly how many numbers. How is it possible that you drive here every week, assuming, for a year or more, the same journey, likely, the same direction, and yet you don't know how many stoplights you pass through because you're not paying attention? See, there's something beautiful that happens when we move our attention to something. We are able to see things that we don't miss. The stoplights were always there. God is always present, and yet when we sing, it helps us to bring our attention to Him so that we can see Him work. But it starts, and this is important, with a humble heart. Worship to God starts with a humble heart. It starts with humility. Maybe some of us came in today, and if we're honest, it's just a bad day. The kids were loud and obnoxious, didn't get dressed when we told them to, didn't do what they were supposed to do. Now we're running behind, and your wife in the car, we'll just leave it at that, you know, you had a little something going on, and don't look at each other now, it'll be awkward. And so there's just some tension, and you roll in, and you're like, those aren't my favorite songs, or why are we standing so much? It's like Catholic Church today, we're up and down, we're up and down, we're up and down, what in the world is going on? I'm not in this thing today. I'm not in. I'm sorry if I just offended the Catholics. It starts with a humble heart. Great worship starts with humility. It's the ability to say, man, God, you're bigger than all this. In fact, it's where the, have you ever wondered when you're standing around people, maybe you don't do this, and you see people raise their hand, do you ever wonder where it comes from? Or if you raise your hand during music and you don't know why, you definitely pay attention. So if someone asks you, you can answer this question. Let me ask you this to help set this up. How many of you don't raise your hand have ever been arrested before? It's your question. Some of you are like, yeah. Oh, wait, wrong place. Wrong meeting. And so if you think about that moment, though, someone's about to get arrested. Maybe they're running from the police for whatever, various reasons. And the police officer says what? First, he'll say, freeze, stop. And then what's the next phrase? It's, let me see your hands, right? Put them up. Why? What's the picture? It's surrender. I'm done. I'm not running anymore. I'm done. That's the same picture when we gather in this room. And for those that decide to do that, it's this picture of, man, I'm surrendering to God. Now my hands go up, my heart goes down in humility before God. Now hear me clearly. You don't have to raise your hands. In fact, there's no expectation of that. Like, don't just do it. But if you feel like that's your moment, like, God, I just feel like I need to surrender to you. That's a beautiful picture. You may need to sit and close your eyes. Either way, the outward posture is not near as important as the internal posture of the heart. And so don't look around and go, man, I think they're a little bit more worshipy than me. No. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. What a beautiful thing. But it starts with humility. When we sing, it helps us to connect with God. Those are three spiritual implications. Let me give you three practical, and then we're going to do something awesome that I cannot wait to show you. Let me give you three practical implications. I think this is fascinating. I hope you find it too. Here's number one. The first practical implication is that singing unites us. Singing unites us. When we're all singing together, right, no matter how bad some of us sound, no matter how out of tune, out of key we might be, that's why we raise the volume so you can't hear each other, right? But it doesn't matter, because as we're all singing together, we're being unified, right? It's a beautiful picture. It's also why we stand. We stand first for reverence and respect for God, but then as we stand together, we're standing in unison together. We're standing for something. And so as we're singing, it unites us. And here's what's interesting. Science is proving this as well. It's backing us up. Science has found that when a group of people gather around music, say a concert or say church, that as the music is playing, over time, our heartbeats begin to line up with the music. And if we're all in the same room listening to the same song or singing with the same song, that means as our heartbeats individually line up with the music, that means collectively our heartbeats are lining up together as we're lining up with the music. There is this beautiful internal unison that happens when the church comes together and sings praises to God. It's amazing. Singing unites us. It brings us together. You think God didn't know that? You think God wasn't up to something when he said, no, I'm going to make this a part of how my people gather because I want them in unison. Listen, the most important thing to God, we could say second to salvation, though it would be linked in together, is unity. It's unity. First, it's unity between us and him. That he wants through Christ for us to be reunited with him, sin free in his eyes through Christ and reunited with the Father. But then he wants us to be unified together. That's why all throughout the Bible, as you read about instruction on how to live and how to be obedient, it's about unity. Love one another, serve one another, be together, come together. This is God's desire. And yet, look at the beauty as we sing, the unity that naturally comes together. Here's the second one. Singing inspires us. Singing inspires us. So a couple things happen, physically and mentally. I'm giving a little science here. Physically, here's the first thing that happens as we think about how it inspires us. Physically, what singing does is our bodies release endorphins, which are natural mood boosters. So as we're singing, something is happening chemically inside of us that there's a natural mood change. Now, some of you are like, I was in a terrible mood. I sang one song and I still feel the same. It may take a little time, but what they have found is that endorphins begin to move. And so it moves us to a more joyful place, and it can also move us to a more calming presence. There's something physically that happens inside of us. God is at work helping us as we are leaning together to worship him. But then there's a second piece, and that's mentally. Mentally, something happened. Mentally, singing affects our cognitive function. It's shown to stimulate memory, creativity, clarity, and problem solving. Well, let's leave this up for a second. I want you to think about something. At the beginning of the message, what did we say? God commands us to sing. And now I want to show you the beauty of when God commands us to do something. Remember, we're doing it to worship him and him alone. But the benefit, or the icing on the cake, you might describe, is that God says, I'm going to pepper some things in here that are going to do a mighty work in my children's life. Look what happens. One, while you're singing, it stimulates your memory. What kind of memories are we singing? Well, we think about the lyrics of the song. We're thinking about things God has done. We're thinking about His ways. We're thinking about His love. And it's reminding us of these truths of God as we sing them. They wash over us. They plant deeply in our memory. As we're singing, we memorize. We'll come back to that in a second. Look at this, creativity. As we're singing, creative things flow. In fact, oftentimes, before I get up to preach, while we're singing, I will get a thought. Then the media team has to figure out how they're going to get it on the screen in the 10 seconds before I get from there to here. But there's something that happens when we're singing. It stimulates creativity. Some creativity in your life. You might need to just sing a little bit if you're trying to come up with something. What a cool thing. And then clarity and problem solving. How many of us, even right now today, are going through something difficult? We're trying to make a decision. We're trying to think about our kids' future or our future or something we got to navigate. As we sing, God says, I'm going to do a work in you. I'm going to bring some clarity into your life. And what's the clarity going to be around? You doing it yourself? No, as we sing to God, we're being drawn into God. That clarity is going to come from us being with Him. He's going to bring clarity and problem solving into our life. Look at the amazing benefits that come when we sing to God. And then finally, singing helps us to remember. It helps us to remember. It helps us to remember the truths of God and how He works. Think about when you were growing up. Think about back in high school. Some of those songs you used to listen to when you were younger, they pop on today and you could sing them word for word. How in the world is it possible? And yet you can sing it word for word. Now, you can't remember the math steps that your teacher taught. You don't even remember her name. But you can remember every word of the song. How is that possible? I'll tell you how. Because of emotion. Music has emotion. And when things are emotive in us, they're a lot easier to remember. And so as we sing this particular words that we sing, the truths that we sing, God is doing a work in us by helping us to plant deeply those amazing truths of who God is, His ways, and His love. God does an unbelievable work in us when we sing. Now, I gave you a couple of spiritual and a couple practical, but it felt a little off to have me be the only one talking to you. And so what I want to do is, it just so happened by God's providence that our global worship leader, Chad Strader, was here with us this morning. And so I told him, I want you to come up and I want to ask you a couple questions about music here at River Point. And I think it's going to be helpful. So will y'all help me welcome Chad as he comes up. And we're going to dialogue here just for a second as we talk about, oh, look at this. Oh my gosh, y'all were ready. They brought your chair first. All right. All right. I see how it is. So this is Chad Strader. If you're new, you may not know this. So our church, River Point, we have three physical locations. And so our worship team, we have a global team that help oversee all of the music at all three of our campuses. So Chad Strader particularly, but his team every week are working together to pull the songs that we sing, the order of our service, all of that good stuff. And so this guy is the mastermind behind what happens here when it comes to music. And so it just seemed fitting that we would bring you. You look nervous. What's up? You a little nervous?
I felt like I needed to apologize right then.
For what?
Being the mastermind.
Oh, well, that's fair. Yes, God's the mastermind. You're just the vessel, but you're a good one. Okay, so tell us, man. Tell us. By the way, let me just say this because I didn't say this earlier. When I got here to River Point a couple years ago, I met this guy, and the moment I met him, I just thought, that guy's different. He's different. And you're going to see it today, I promise. As you listen to him speak, you're going to see it. But this guy's different, and he is special, and we are very, very privileged. And I know because you move around all the campuses, we don't get to see you as much here. And so at this moment, I'd like everyone to put their eyes on him to say, hey, let's fix that. Let's have you here more often. That'd be helpful. That was a little strategic there. You like how I did that? Yeah, there's a little some interweaving there. But because of that, we don't all know that about you, so I wanted to share that because it's just so important. You are an amazing, amazing guy. Now tell us about music. Tell us what goes into a service at River Point. Pull back the curtain for a moment. Let us see what you would allow us to see. I think this is going to be so fascinating. Take it away, man.
Thank you. I don't know, honestly, what I can add to what you did was so practical and so helpful that we're back there talking about it. It like needs to be redundant. You should take that on the road somewhere. I mean, stay within the church.
It's really I'm out. Good. See you guys.
I just really appreciate you digging into
worship
and help reminding us the importance of it and how good it is for us. I will pull back the curtain just a little bit because this is the world that I operate in and have been doing for 20 years. So the service as a whole. Each week we have a blank script for Moe City, for the Richmond campus, and for Weston. And so as we approach those services, first it starts with a lot of prayer. And stories that have been told, so we're thinking about stories that have been told here, of life change or something happening in the community. All these things really shape how we get started. If there's needs to address in a certain community, there's something we can put in this hour service that would be from God, you know, truth in His Word about a particular hope or encouragement. But by and large, we see the services, that blank page every week, as an opportunity. It's a conversation. And so as we program the services and think about songs and flow and all the different elements, we see it as a conversation that starts very wide at the top, and then it narrows down as we go. And you'll see that reflected in songs, but it's not always felt. Just know from a functional side of what we do, we like to see the service as a story, a conversation that we're having with our communities, with God as the leader, into this funnel shape. So up here at the top, you'll see songs in particular about bigger themes about God, His majesty, a lot of His attributes, His love and His grace and His mercy. These are things that tend to be understood by people who don't even go to church. And so we're reaching a lot of people who do not know the love of Christ, and they're on our minds as we program. And so as we navigate through the service, there are subtle changes in the content of the songs, which allow us to be able to sing about God, allow us to sing to God, songs of praise that are big and wide open at the beginning, and more intimate songs where we can sing like, God, I need you. The posture changes there, where we're able to, what the Bible would call, like the spiritual songs.
Yeah.
Paul says it very clearly. The directive he gave us in Colossians and Ephesians is to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Yeah.
So we follow that lead as well as the lead of Jesus, who is the greatest storyteller ever. He always knew his audience. So anytime he was talking to anybody, he used an illustration that that audience would understand. So we try to keep those things in mind as we program the services. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I will say about songs, because it's super important. If you don't go to church or it's your first time here, listen, there's nothing better. Church people really have a lot to say about songs. You should see my email box.
Not from this campus.
Not from Moe City.
No way.
At all. But listen, it is important. There are so many songs out there, and the Christian music industry is huge and it's wide open. New songs are coming down the pipeline all the time. As we choose songs, it's my responsibility, and I get other eyes on this, to make sure that these songs are not only truthful, but they're helpful as well. And so that's very important to us. I will say, by and large, we don't always get this right, but we only choose songs for the lyrics. And then they fit into different categories after that. It's a beat or it's a ballad type thing, but we're focused in. My first thing when somebody comes to me about a song that inspired them, I go to the lyrics and I run it through a filter and say, is this truthful? And that's based on scripture, or is it helpful as well? And those two things come together. And I'm telling you, week after week, there's a lot of, a lot of opinions about what should be sung and what shouldn't be sung. And we labor all of that because it is a weight that is heavy. And it's very important as the shepherd of this worship ministry that the songs that we are singing are truthful based on scripture, and they're helpful for our communities.
Man, that's great. Yeah, there's a great phrase in the church world, show us your songs and we'll show you your theology. So it's important that the words that we are singing matter. And so we have, what an amazing thought that we can trust you guys doing that work for us. By the way, I think it's worth noting, anytime we sing a new song, in any place, wherever you are, it's important that you read through those songs first. You know, maybe listen the first time through and just read and process what it means. So then when you sing it, you're truly singing from the posture and the heart of, like, yes, I mean this, versus I'm just singing whatever's on the screen. It's not the same experience. So we want it to go in deeply and then to flow from our heart. And so, and I'm so grateful that you help us lead in that way where we can trust that. That's what a beautiful thing. What about River Point? River Point's kind of, particularly with music, we can be a bit unique compared to others, not better, not worse, just unique, a little different. What's our approach here, or what would you say for those maybe that are new and kind of hearing how we do things today for the first time? Speak into that a little bit.
Yeah. Some of the songs are unique to River Point, but that's not the main thing that is unique with the music that we play. We have the best bands on every campus, and I say that because I've been around a lot.
That's true.
But what makes them the best is not this amazing ability. That's part of it. You've got to be able to play and perform your instrument well, right? And the singers, too. It's grueling for them. I never leave them alone. It's all for them. But I will say what is unique about River Point and Weston, and I'm here to tell you, is less to do about the music, but who is presenting it. On each campus, let's talk about Most City, because there's something happening at this campus you might not be aware of, but we try to model that at the other campuses. And it's because of this band and these leaders, the worship leaders, they're doing something that is very unique. And you'll see them from time to time in the lobby. They want to make themselves known. They want to see your face. They want to shake your hand. Thank you for coming. They pick up trash when they see it. This place feels like home. And it's just a very important piece of who they are. I've seen them go on hospital visits, show up to people's houses with gifts. They are invested in this community. They pray for you guys before you even get here. You're prayed over because this band sees the value and the importance of that. And you can't find that everywhere.
That's right.
I'm telling you, what's unique about Most City Campus that we're modeling at the other campuses is the folks on stage have so much invested in this. And it is rare. Just to give you a glimpse, bigger churches, it happens a lot in all churches, but a lot of times folks just come in and then they go back to their communities, they play their music, and then they're out. There's not a lot of investment there. You might have one person on stage who has the responsibility.
A lot of contract workers,
that's right.
That kind of thing, yeah.
But that's, as long as I am here, I have the value of the investment that we have is in those leaders and in those bands, so they'll have a missional attitude applied to their work, a greater purpose, so they're dialed in. And y'all have the best out here in Most City.
We do. All right, what about, we'll do one or two more here real quick. What about those of us in here that can't sing? Like some of us, I'll just talk about me. I don't want to put any of y'all under the bus. I do hear you though. But I can't sing. Worth a flip. And so the louder the music, the safer I am. But well, I don't know. What do you, because we're saying God commands us to sing. It's like, well, then why didn't he give us all these angelic voices? But I don't know. What do you got to say about that? What would you say to us, maybe processing that?
It's angelic to him.
That's it?
Yeah. I would say, listen, if you know you can't sing and somebody loved you enough to tell you that, just don't sign up for the volunteer choir that we have. That's all I say. I don't want you to get your feelings hurt. It's perfect out there. I will say this, a lot of, and I know this to be true, is that a lot of people just kind of tolerate the music because they really gravitate. The message is where that they can, they just prefer that over the message. And so, hey, kudos to you if you're just tolerating the music so you can't wait to sit down and receive. I think that's great.
It's my kind of people right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I will say this, piggybacking off of what you said, it's good for you to sing. And I would, if you don't want to sing or you don't feel vulnerable to do that, that's okay too. I do want you to consider something that, let me put it this way. Maybe you reframe that, and what might help you start to sing is to this fact that sing for those who can't. Because there are those folks in our communities and at our campuses that cannot. And how blessed would they be if we sang over them because they can't. That's a blessing. And it actually gives you an opportunity to serve others as you're just kind of like, I hate this song. They sing it all the time. But it's important for us to not only sing ourselves, but to be blessed by hearing others sing in our ears. It's just good. And I'll give you just a...
Tell
do we have time?
Tell it.
Okay.
Tell
so I used to be in a band, and we would tour a lot. This is back in the 90s. And I went to this... We were singing at this venue. Our band played. And there was a gentleman I kept... And there was a bunch of people there, but I kept hyper-focusing on this gentleman who was tapping this young lady with him. And I realized throughout the gig that he was giving her the beat and he was singing the words. She was deaf. She could not hear, right? But she felt the vibrations in the room, and he was tapping her, and he was mouthing the words. And afterwards, I got to meet him, and that was his sister, by the way. And she was deaf, just tears in her eye, because she had an encounter with the music, but she couldn't hear it. It was felt. And her brother sang over her and included her in that. It was just such a special illustration. I'll never forget it. Fun fact, that guy ended up to this day, he's my brother-in-law.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
That's
but I
amazing.
Think that's a great, that is a great illustration, and it's a reminder. I'm pleading with you, even if you don't like the music or you sing awful or whatever, just honk it off. It's blessing somebody next to you who can't sing. I promise you. It's good.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I think for us, you know, I think something so important as we shepherd this moment and you guys is that we want you to come and sing. We want you to participate. But we want you to remember that it isn't about the song. It is definitely not about the singers or the musicians. All that's a piece of it. What we're doing here, though, is we're singing to God. We are singing to Him. And so make sure that our musical worship, our singing worship, doesn't stop at the stage, but goes through it to God. Because that's really what it is. All these guys just want to help create the moment for you to experience time with God, to connect with Him, to be inspired by Him, to learn from Him, to grow in Him. And all that happens in these moments. But it's easy to get hung up on a song or get hung up on our favorite artist or favorite singer. We're so blessed that these guys could be that. But we want to make sure that we don't do that, because that's not what church is. We're here to sing to Almighty God because of how great He is. And in His goodness, He's blessed us with amazing vessels to be able to be used for that moment. And so don't ever get lost in that. And if you're new, maybe the music is a part of what brought you in. And we're so glad. We're so happy about that. But this is an opportunity for you to learn through that too and to see how all this works and what we're doing. What a beautiful thought. So, man, I feel like we could only end with singing a song. It seems like that.
Let's do it.
Not me. Let's be clear. No. You. Chad Squared is going to become Chad One here. By the way, if you ever wonder, is it complicated with having three Chads on staff? The answer is absolutely. Absolutely, yes. He was Chad One. I was Chad Two. Then Chad Brigman came. And he was Chad 3, but then he kind of became the boss, so we can't call him Chad 3. So we're just all confused. Just identity crisis. It's wild. If you're new, you didn't know, we have three Chads on our staff. Hey, lead us in a song, and then we'll go.
I love this song. It's called Solid Rock. It was written in the 1800s by this guy named Edward Mote, I believe. And I like it because he wasn't like super spiritual. He didn't go to church. He was a cabinet maker, and he was the son of a pub owner in London. And he was neglected as a child. And so he had this whole life story and then had an encounter with God and wrote this. He ended up being a pastor, I think, when he turned 55. But he wrote this song back in the 1800s. It was published in the late 1800s. I think it's a great song. It's one of those that talks about the grace of God, and it's one of the hymns that I love. So if you join me, let's stand and honk this off as we leave. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All right, we're going to jump straight to the last verse. shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, just in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand, all of the ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand, all of the ground is sinking sand.